talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest will provide you with advice, resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com, click click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and then click on the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box and it should pull up all of our shows. If you want to find out about future guests, you can visit the official Question Reality website directly, and that address is questionreality.us, questionreality.us, not .com, .us. Now, we have a great guest for you today. He is a reoccurring guest. He was last on our show March 21st of last year, and he was such the hit of the parade that we said we have to have him back. His name is Matt Scalarude, and he is the president of Pink Banana Media, and he is the end-all, be-all. So we're going to try to definitely drill his little mind to get all kinds of information out of it today. He is, let me give you his website address because I'm going to go into my advertisements and maybe you can check him out on the internet right now. His website is pinkbananamedia.com. 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 I don't think anyone can say that three times really fast. PinkBananaMedia.com. So before we talk to Matt, let's talk about some exciting stuff for our people listening. Now, if you love jazz, if you're interested in hearing some phenomenal jazz and blues with a great guitar player, like incredible, phenomenal, great jazz blues guitar player who plays with a Joe Pass style, then you don't want to miss Albert John. He is performing tonight with the Sir Winston Soul Jazz Quintet, and that is at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9:30, and that is at the Blue Cafe. Blue Cafe, 217 Pine Avenue in Long Beach. The parking is free, plenty of street parking. There is a $5 cover charge, but that's because it's really good music. So what is $5 to hear some great blues and jazz? And I'm telling you, you'll love this guitar player. He's awesome. Not just because he's my husband. I had to get that in there. I got to be honest, it's my husband. But he's a great guitar player. And Winston is the keyboardist, and they all do such a great job. Really nice. BlueCafeLive.com is the website. BlueCafe.live. BlueCafeLive.com. And you can check out their individual websites at albertjohn.us and Sir Winston, WinSton.com. So hopefully you'll go there and say hello and say hi to my better half. Next, let's talk about some really, really important commercial intensive classes that we have coming up. There is a really cool one with commercial casting director Scott Wissner, and that's going to be at the Actors Creative Workshop. And it's going to be, there are going to be two of them. One is a commercial intensive, and that's on Sunday starting at 10 a.m., and that's going to be January 16th, 23rd, 30th, and February the 6th. The cost of that is $225. There is an advanced invite class on Saturdays at 1 p.m., and that's on January 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, also at $225. Now you say, oh my God, I'm a struggling actor. I can't afford $225. Well, you definitely should be able to afford this or find the money somewhere, because Scott Wissner, he has over 25 years experience in casting and production. He's directed thousands of commercial casting sessions. In 1988, he helped create and was the original partner in Beth Holmes Casting. And within 3 years of being with them, he had built up the billings to over $1 million. So he really took it from, you know, a small agency and then whipped it good. Now, in this class, you are going to learn the secrets to booking commercial work. This is very important because commercial work is, there's much more of it to go around right now in this particular economy than there is for film work or theater work. So booking commercial, very important right now. Now, what you're going to learn in this class is what are you actually in control of in a commercial audition? Who really makes the decisions? You're going to learn the difference between the client and the ad agency. You're going to explore the right approach and the wrong approach to slating. You'll learn how to truly feel comfortable in front of the camera, the directors and the producers. How do you really show your personality in an interview situation? You only have a small amount of time, as you know. You really got to get it in there, but not be like a total nerd. You'll take an in-depth look at commercial copy and learn how to stand out by bringing your uniqueness to the room, how you can deal with more than a one-person copy. And the class will work through improv situations and how they apply to commercials. And what's great is you also will work on camera while reading cue cards. So you're using actual commercial audition copy, which is really good. And that is going to be at the Actors Creative Workshop. And the website is actorscreativeworkshop.com. You can also email them at info@actorscreativeworkshop.com. So that's very exciting for the little actors. Now, what I'm excited about, I'm thinking I may take this class myself right now. Because comedy is my thing. Love comedy. Every sitcom there is, I'm all over it. So right now, they're registering for the 6 triplets and 8 devices of comedy with casting director Nick Anderson. And his comedy class is starting soon. Right now, they're just registering, but it's coming. Now, you've heard about it for years with comedies like, Modern Family, Cougar Town, How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, 2 and a Half Men. Sitcoms are more popular than ever, and there has just never, ever been a better time to brush up on your comedy chops. Some people say, oh, I am a dramatic actor, a theatrical actor. Well, comedy, you need to get some comedy in there, because I'm telling you, the best drama comes from sometimes the best comedian. So did you know that Charlie Sheen from 2 and a Half Men, he inked the largest deal in sitcom history? He's getting a reported $2 million per episode with a 2-year guarantee. So that is like double what the cast of Friends got. And whew, sign me up. I want that. I have to talk to David Schwimmer. David was getting like the most money ever. Now look at Charlie Sheen. And what's he doing? His liver is a rocky road, and it's with the $2 million a year. He's tearing his liver up. My God, give me his money. So email to sign up for payment options for this class if you can't afford to pay for it all at once. And again, it's info@actorscreatedworkshop.com. And just a little bit about the coach. I want to tell you this because Corbin Bronson, I took a casting workshop with him a couple years ago, and he had brought up this guy's name. And he is known for – he does this class which is called – okay, comedy, if you don't know it because you're not familiar with this world, comedy comes in threes. Everybody knows it. But if you ever stop to wonder why, knowing why comedy comes in threes is what allows an actor to make the intelligent comedic choice. That's the difference between two people doing a scene and one has excellent comedic timing and the other one probably has more experience doing drama, but can't nail that he can't hit the line. So in this class, you're going to learn the six triplets, which are necessary to analyze the script, and the eight comedic devices that are going to be applied to the joke to bring home the funny. And there is a formula. Comedy comes in threes. You just have to learn that. So I know you've always suspected there's got to be a formula to comedy. Well, there is. And this guy, Nick, is going to teach it the formula step by step so that you can start making the right comedic choices to book the job. If you want to check him out, he's on IMDb. And again, Nick is the man to go to. Now, his comedy intensives is 4 Sundays starting at 1 o'clock. And again, that's on January 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th, $225. Okay? So if you're interested, go to their website and sign up. And there you go. Boy, that sounds exciting. I think I really do. I think I'm actually going to take that class. So maybe we'll see you over there. Now, back to the wonderful guest that we have today, Mr. Matthew Scalarud. Again, he's the president of Pink Banana Media. Now, this is a company that helps other companies reach gays and lesbians on the internet using traditional means such as banner ads and email, as well as more specialized means, including blogs, YouTube videos, Facebook, and other methods, which you're going to find out about today. And Matthew began his career in the GLBT marketplace in the mid-90s. And this was a time when there weren't too many companies that catered to the GLBT community or their needs to go forth and flourish in this country. So he was one of the pioneers. He was a trailblazer and a true trendsetter in this field. So we are very lucky to have him on the air with us today. And without further ado, let's say hi to this little John Wayne trailblazer, Matthew Scalarud. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Priscilla. How you doing tonight?
Fine. Merry Christmas.
And to you.
Yay. I'm excited. I have been hopping around buying presents, buying gifts. I love this time of year. It's wonderful to buy. I know it's not about buying, but I love to buy. I'm just one of the people. I know it's about, loving and touching and feeling, and it's supposed to be very hippie, 60-ish, but give me a credit card and let me buy, right? Because I love to buy my friends and family stuff, which brings me to my question. What is going on in the world of business online buying? We want to find that out about today. We want to find out what's going on with the GLBT community. I want to know about we're going to talk. I got the questions lined up for you. I got so many questions. I don't know where to start. I think I'm going to just start with the question that I didn't get to ask you last time, which was, I think I have a pretty good idea why, but I have to make sure. Why the name Pink Banana Media?
Well, I'll try to give the short answer for that, but
I like no, long just, things, Matt. Long things. Go ahead.
Oh, we have fun. No, it was, you know, it's back in 95, we started Gay Wired and figured out what worked for the boys. And so split it off and created a second site, Lesbian Nation for the Women. So long story short, we ended up making an entire network of sites. We actually had one that was for gay sports fans, other ones that was for gay parents. We noticed that all these community sites, that these people like to actually interact with each other kind of on their own, not necessarily in one big Walmart of a gay site, but something that was much more specialized and spoke to them and allowed them to speak and speak to others, meet others, the whole works. So when we were out representing all this, what do you do in the real world? What, you're in the real world, you're at a trade show, you're at a pride festival, what the heck do you do? So we actually launched a magazine about the gay internet called Gay Red Monkey. So we had Gay Red Monkey magazine, and it represent, and it was out there promoting all these different sites. And so when companies would talk to us about advertising on our network, we called it the Gay Web Monkey Network of Sites. It was kind of fun. So we did so well at getting everybody.
Are you saying Gay Red Monkey?
Gay Web. Web.
Oh, Gay Web. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm like, what's mad in these colors? Pink, red? What? He's got an obsession with naming things with colors. Okay, my mistake. Go ahead. Continue.
So we had a little Gay Web Monkey, and we did a good job of branding it. So most companies understood what we were talking about, and they understood that the consumers understood the magazine. It was a whole formula, and we did that for years. And so that's where, you know, cutting to the chase, and when I sold the company, I eventually went off on my own and still wanted to work with companies to help reach gay people on the internet, but they, you know, not necessarily within our own sites. I wanted people to know it was me. So I went to my same logo and graphic designer and just said, hey, look, let's brainstorm a company name that would be a spinoff of Gay Web Monkey. And we came up with the Pink Banana Media.
Well, I was just, I had my mind in the ground and was thinking all phallic. I thought, pink banana, what looks like a pink banana? Look at me. What's wrong with me, Matt?
Well, you're not alone, and we shouldn't. we should have done a focus group first, because although it works really, really well, and of course, you know, it's been all these years, and so we stuck with the brand. There have been times when I've realized that some companies would look at this with the, you know, and you have a little grin in their face, and I want to tell them, no, it has nothing to do with, no, we're not a porn company, I swear.
Yeah, because after I had you on the show last time, I was saying to my husband, come here and show me your pink banana. And he said, you are a sick woman. It's just stuck in my head. But no matter what people think of it, Pink Banana Media is a name that stands out. So no matter what, you know, what kind of sickos like me think something worse, I never have forgotten the name. Never have forgotten the name. So it worked after all.
That's good. Yeah. And that's, you know, it is a busy world out there. And especially in the online space where you hear all these different business names come and go. So we did want something that would stick, and also we want something that had a good logo to it that, you know, in today's world, it's all about that little square Twitter logo and that little square that pops up everywhere that people recognize, or you hope they recognize, and the banana seems to kind of be one of those things that they can look back and say, yes, I remember seeing that.
Now, let me ask you, Pink Banana Media, for people who don't know you, which may be one or two in the world, let's talk about, what does Pink Banana do? Like, who would I be if I contacted you? What kind of person contacts you, and what is their goal? What are they trying to achieve, and what will they achieve by coming to your company?
Well, it's what many of them want all companies are looking to get themselves out there, promoted, marketing, what have you. And so a company, if they know they want to reach the gay and lesbian market, and we pursue a few niches pretty well. Travel is a strong part for is a strong component of what we do, as far as working with destinations and travel companies to reach the gay market. And entertainment's been very good for us, for your audience as well. A lot of the filmmakers, let's say a filmmaker says, you know, he's got a movie like Queers, you know, that he's got a movie that he believes that everybody that was a fan of Queer as Folk would love his film. Well, we know how to reach those people. We know how to reach them through targeted, you know, basically at the end of the day, we just kind of roll up our sleeves and figure out where are those fans, or where are those people that have self-identified and said they like this sort of thing. And it doesn't have to always be as narrow as Queer as Folk, but that's just a good one that you can do a Facebook ad on that's really good as an example. But the rest is just, you know, somebody wants to reach people that are into gay film, if they're looking to reach people that are looking to travel to Palm Springs. At the end of the day, it's not just about just reaching all gay people with this one big broad stroke. It's not like all gay people are the same and all lesbians are the same. And so we help first educate them about, you know, what opportunities they do have, and then help them kind of come up with a strategy to go out there and find them. So that's the way it's done.
Is this something that do you work more on like a short term project, or is it really depending on what the customer wants? Is it long? Do you work with some people for long term to achieve a goal, sort of like a public relations agent does, or do you just work with short bursts clients?
No, it'll be both. Okay. And in some ways, and this is I'm often hesitant not to push too loudly. It's just that, you know, a lot of the more traditional disciplines of PR, traditional marketing, you know, companies that just, you know, that were paid a few million dollars to go out there and create a print ad for Vogue magazine and get it out there into Vogue and other publications around the country, or come up with a commercial. All those business models, and as I was saying, and public relations are all kind of really going through a metamorphosis now, because now they're finding that in today's world, it's not about just putting a press release together that says we're the most robust, state-of-the-art, blah, blah, blah. People want to be spoken to as a human being. So what happens is that so much stuff is going this direction, we end up with some long-term clients that are kind of converting their entire marketing system, and not just budget, but their whole system, and they're looking at social media first, which just simply means speaking to real people in a real way, and then sort of expanding upon that. And, you know, press releases and traditional advertising will still have its place, but the priorities are shifting, and where these companies realize they have to focus first has shifted a lot. So we'll do both. We'll do the long term with some clients, but we'll actually end up with a few that just need some help in getting in that strategy to get them started.
Now, what is your take on the success of online business only versus the brick and mortar combined with online business?
Well, as we know, you know, we're not digital creatures. You know, we're analog. We enjoy reading a book or so many different things that we do that are very tactile. You know, we're still social. We still like to get out from behind our computers and go out and meet real people in the real world. So I think once we all become very comfortable with the fact that online and all digital tools are just that, they're just tools. They're just more weapons in our arsenal, so to speak. If we're looking at going out there to conquer the world and get everybody to know about our product or service, those are just tools that we have in order to help us better reach the people we're trying to target. But at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and at some point you got to talk to people, meet with them. And the beauty of it is people still do business with people. It's the old fashioned style that we've been doing for thousands of years. And so once people, I think more and more companies and organizations and individuals are starting to realize that. And so the brick and mortar, the real world, merged with the online when it comes to a strategy is probably one of the best things people have gone for.
Now, what's going on with the online traffic? What's the online traffic like now for the GLBT website business? Like specifically, let's use the holiday season, like Christmas. Are GLBT businesses getting a good market share of business, or is the GLBT community still shopping online at more commercial businesses like Macy's, Saks, et cetera, et cetera? And how do you drive business to the GLBT businesses where they want to sell their merchandise?
Yeah, because that's a tricky question, and it's only tricky in the sense that, you know, I do like to be politically correct and not push to put too many buttons, but at the same time, it's you know, when you ask where are they going, gay people are just part of society, and that's what everyone's realizing more and more. The whole MTV generation figured it out. Now the millennials have got to figure out where, you know, there's nothing that's, we're the same as everyone else, which means we like to shop at Macy's, we like to shop at Nordstrom's or what have you. And so what you end up seeing are what are gay only type of businesses, especially for the holidays. Well, that could be greeting cards or videos, gay video companies, or companies that have gay lingerie, underwear, what have you. You know, what really sets those apart from the mainstream world? Not a whole lot. And so I would say that actually businesses like that cater to that, oh, I need to buy myself some rainbow flags and put some cute little bumper stickers on my car. All that stuff has kind of faded out a bit, and a lot of those businesses have gone under. So what you really realize, what people realize, is that gay people are out there, and the whole question is just what can we offer them in terms of products and services that that they would like. And you know, there's a lot that people talk about with brand awareness and brand loyalty and so forth. And I think you're seeing more and more of that as opposed to gay only businesses out there trying to earn a living selling gay products.
Yeah, for example, I have a friend that has a travel agency, and he's a gay gentleman, and he says, how am I going to compete with other travel agencies? Well, he decided that he was going to make his trips and make deals, which I thought was a great idea, with resorts and hotels where he could set up specific activities that were gay-related activities. And I thought that was a brilliant idea because, you know, sometimes you just want to go on a gay cruise, or you want to go on a lesbian cruise, or you want to go on whatever cruise, you just want to do that. So they would want to book their travel with him because he really knows that particular, how to cater to that particular event. Whereas you'd book with, you know, ABC Travel Company and just go, you know, somewhere where they just don't want to go. They want to go somewhere else. So that's what I was trying to get towards. Our online business is still trying to get that extra edge by offering something that's unique like that.
And especially it's just mostly travel, I would say. Travel makes the most sense because travel really is a very social, real world experience. And so, and who people travel with and what they do on that short vacation, whether it's a 1 week or 2 week trip, you know, that could be like the main vacation of their entire year. So they got to make sure that they do it right. And that's actually very common for gay travel agencies out there now to cater to all sorts of very specific niches of exactly that type of travel you described. Some people that go on these trips, they want to have everything very high end and luxury, and they want 5-star hotels. And even if they go to Machu Picchu, they want to go up there in style. And then you've got other companies that are still very specific on just the gay audience and gay traveler that are focusing much more on the adventure side. And, you know, maybe they'll end up doing a lot more hiking and outdoor activities. And so you're really seeing a huge differentiation when it comes to those things, while at the same time always still being able to, A, put together a gay group and also put together gay activities on the ground. That's for those folks. So there's so much all
there's
over the
now. There's something for everybody, isn't there?
Oh, it's incredible. We have so many choices nowadays.
I know. Sometimes I wish that I could live in communist Russia again, because I go in the grocery store and there's so many choices, I get a headache. It's like, I just want one choice of toilet paper, please. I don't want 20,000 choices, because I have to go through and I'm obsessive like that. I have to go through and read each one of them, make sure which is the softest, which is the cheapest. I can spend an hour in the toilet paper aisle. It's not normal. And I think that's what society is doing to us. There are too many choices. Now, what can one do, or a small business do, do you think, to take really full advantage of the social media websites today? If you're trying to promote your product, what can you do? What is taking advantage of these social websites? What can you do if you're just a little person and you can't really hire a business to do it for you?
Yeah, now you can do, and that's what a lot of what I end up doing is just education, seminars, training, just to show all those small businesses that it's not that hard. And same as when we spoke back in March, it's you know, the Facebook page, kind of having a Twitter account, perhaps a LinkedIn group. You know, there's just a few key items that a company can have to really start to get their word out. But they've got to work it. It's not something you can just kind of throw out there and just hope for the best. That's something where, you know, you're sending updates to the people that are liking the fan page or becoming fans or following in the world of Twitter. Basically, your members, your people. You got to keep them entertained. You got to keep them informed. And what ends up happening is that then they'll start to interact with you. They'll start to interact with each other, and you kind of start to develop that whole sense of community around your product or service. And that's what companies are doing today. And really now it's just a matter of just understanding some of the new stuff that comes along and trying to be able to weed through the chaff, so to speak, and not be able to get enamored with all the stuff and just try to be able to realize what's really key and what's important for their own business to succeed.
Now, other than Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, are there any new social media? LinkedIn, you said. Are there any new social media websites that we should know about that are up and coming?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially in the small business world, it's all about there's two areas that are huge. And it's one of them is it's all about this location-aware people checking in on their from their cell phones and saying, I'm here at this restaurant, I'm at this location. And not only do they check in and say that they're there, they also leave tips and advice and reviews. And so you're seeing this kind of user-generated activity and updates and so forth being done on sites called Foursquare. You're seeing it done on Yelp even. And everybody wants in. Facebook launched Facebook Places because they don't want to be left out in this business. And even Google has something called Google Places. So they're all very similar. And they're all designed towards trying to capture and figure out how do you marry that consumer to a local business in the online world. And this whole world of basically Foursquare being the leader, Foursquare's figured it out. And there's a second one, Groupon. And Groupon with this whole thing with coupons has figured it out. So I think a year or two from now, we're going to see the success story come from a few rising to the top. It could be Facebook, could be Google, or one of these other companies that really nails it and figures out how to bring together the best of people being able to identify with where they're at physically in a real world location, getting a deal, you know, sharing that information with the world, leaving reviews, and kind of somebody can pull that all together into one that helps the business as well.
Now, in the perfect world of non-criminals and psychopaths, we would love that. But do you really feel that that's safe? I mean, I don't know. I have like a... When I first found out about that, a friend of mine has that thing where he's able to look on his phone and he can see where all of his friends are, one location. And I think that's kind of way too crazy for me because I don't want anybody to know where the hell I am. And I don't want people to be thinking about where they're going to come and rob me when I'm down at the diner. And you heard all those stories about people on Facebook posting. I mean, not only are they posting their personal information, but they're posting, oh, I'm going to be out on Friday night. Next thing you know, their cousin's brother's uncle has robbed their ass because they posted that they weren't going to be home. Do you really feel that it's safe to be with these social websites to go that far to like have people know where their friends are? I mean, you may think they're your friend, but hey, what if they lost their phone? You're going to get robbed. Oh, they're going to steal every drawer. You're going to steal your drawers. You're not going to have anything when you come back. I mean, how can you protect yourself on the social websites from doing things like that?
Well,
I guess I'm talking more of a social way. I mean, we're not talking businesses. Certainly don't say, we're going to leave all of our cash in the safe this weekend. I understand that. But I'm just talking about for social websites, like off topic a bit.
Well, the one thing we have to still remember is that even with that potential fear, people are doing it. And the only reason that it's even important is because millions are doing it. And so they're doing it. Probably not as many people are fearful of being robbed, and maybe of us after the recession don't feel like there's much left to steal anyway.
Well, what about the crazy ex-boyfriend who's going to come and kill your ass because he knows where you are? And what if you're with his best friend and you forgot you know what I'm saying? Just as an example, is it safe to be so tuned in where you want everybody to know where you are?
Yeah, no, that could be a future. I haven't seen a whole lot in terms of bad things happening from this, but we know that it probably will happen. And what I would say is that one little tip that I leave for people is that what I do is I check into a place after when I'm done. Let's just say I go to a restaurant and I had a wonderful meal. I'll just check in after and say, oh, yeah, I was here, had a great time. But in that way, especially nobody really actually knows. If somebody really wanted to find you, they can't use it to find you because you're already gone.
Exactly. I am with you. I do the same thing. I never tell people about things I'm going to do. I tell them afterwards. Very smart. So people, protect yourself. Don't be telling people that you're going out. Don't be crazy now. Use some common sense. All right. So now I know that when you started your business, there there wasn't a roadmap for how to approach the GBLT community online. So what were some of the things that you initiated in your company that you feel broadened the GLBT market, and how have you profited from that today so that you're able to share that wisdom with up and coming businesses?
Yeah, well, that whole let's just say product lifecycle, so to speak, is pretty much come and gone for me, at least for me. Because after having sold in 2006, I focused more on the fun stuff, this just helping clients come up with these strategies and so forth. But we were very lucky. What we very specifically did back in I think it was 96. It was the first Christmas of 96. We ended up setting up an entire retailing operation on our website, and we had no idea where it would go. And we just had a few calendars, some music CDs, and these items. But they were very, as we were speaking before, they were very specifically targeted to a gay and lesbian audience. And we set it up so they can pay online. Credit card went through automatically. And lo and behold, we hit a little gold mine because this didn't exist out there before. Yeah. There was no online retailing, especially in the gay space. So all of a sudden, I mean, that really bought my first house because next thing you know, we ended up converting a garage into a warehouse, then rented the warehouse space. And I mean, within a matter of 2 years, we became one of the top retailers online. And but we also, and this is kind of a strange thing that I do, and it's not to sound, it makes myself sound altruistic or anything. It's just that I kind of know that this is the way it works, which is that companies like TLA Video and so forth, which are fantastic companies out there, and like especially for them selling, at the time they were just doing mostly rental videos. But a company like them, they came to us and said, "Wow, we love what you're doing. We want to tap into this. We want to see if gay people want to buy our videos too online." So we set up their first online store, and we did that for others, like 10% productions for greeting cards. And ultimately, they all figured out that this was going to work, and they bought it in-house, and they became huge in terms of TLA became one of the largest gay online retailers, and 10% productions had probably the largest greeting card line. And all those were just from, based upon, you know, one, we started to work with them to show them that this could work. And we even helped them to show them the way in terms of coding and programming so that they could figure out how to do that on their own as well.
Wow. Woo, you should be very proud of that.
No, we are. And it's made for great relationships that even exist today. You know, they just, because they all know, you know, they all know how we all started. But I guess my point is also, it's easy for me to work with them that way because I knew that if I didn't, they would figure out some one way or the other. And so I thought it was much better for all of us if we just worked together that way. And it's definitely worked to our advantage.
Now, what are some exciting things? What's on the horizon for you and your company? What's going on that's really getting you titillated, Matt? What's titillating you?
It's just, you know, here we go into 2011 and this whole area as far as companies wanting to reach gay people by, you know, that alone is becoming bigger and bigger every year. So that's wonderful. But the whole fact that companies realize that, you know, they want to be better than the next company. They want to, if it's a travel company or somebody's got a film, they want to do something better than the next guy. And they realize that this whole figuring out how to work social media and work with Groupon for a coupon or work with Foursquare and, you know, doing all this stuff is what's going to set them apart. And so it puts me in a position where we've got more opportunity than we know what to deal with in terms of trying to pick and choose the companies we help to get there. And so I just know that as we're going into January, it's going to be one heck of a year, you know, recessions or no, this is companies still have to promote themselves. And so I actually think that during downturns that this sort of technology or this sort of guerrilla marketing really starts to have even a stronger appeal.
Well, everybody seems to, I know in the entertainment business, everybody seems to start prepping in December. They get their new headshots. They update their resume. And people in regular businesses, too, for some reason, January just sets people aflame to be inspired for all new things that are going to happen for the new year. So it is now December the 12th. So is it too late for a company to, say, call you up or a person to call you up and say, you know, I want to jump on the January bandwagon. I want to start the year out getting my company to be encased with fireworks, with profit. Is it too late to call you? Should they have started preparing before? Or how long does it take? If they called you today, how long would it take for you to really get them started in order to meet that January deadline? Or how long it take?
No, it's rarely too late. I mean, I would say that for a full-blown, for a well-thought-out plan where we get to understand a company's products and services better and really figure out what they've done in the past that's worked well for them, and that usually takes about a week or so. And so, in general, they can a company can be ready to go and out the door and out the chute, so to speak, within a week. And so, definitely not too late. And that's one of the beauties of this type of strategy is that the implementation and the time it takes to kind of get there is a lot shorter than it was back in the day when you had to have a lot of creative print ads made or banner ads or commercials and all the more time intensive products that were used in marketing. Nowadays, it's all spread out and it's during the course of a period of time. And it's much more people just talking and posting and blogging and just speaking to people in a real, I don't want to say folksy way, but just in the way that they normally would speak to people if they walked into their shop.
Now, a lot of people, especially with the small business, we'll just stay with small business. A lot of people have online businesses and they wear many hats. They do their own administrative, their sales, their marketing, their accounting. They do everything. And it's really kind of stretching yourself to do everything, but they can't or may not be able to afford a person at this moment. Is coming to you going to be adding another hat for them to wear, or is that going to be kind of combining everything and making it run more smoothly?
It's an option for them. It's either I'm going to train them and show them or educate them. I'm going to give them the knowledge that they need so that they can go back and do it themselves, which means that would just be more work for them in the context of their time during the day for work. However, this is it's marketing. So however a company has factored in their marketing, whether it's a labor cost, meaning that they're going to pay somebody just to sit down and do it, or if they were going to pay somebody just to create something, at the end of the day, they got to do something. Something's got to be done. And so they either do it themselves or up to a point where they realize they can't do that any longer. And then they start to realize what works, what doesn't. And then they also then are more knowledgeable and able to hire a company like mine to help them continue on and do it in a much more, I wouldn't just say professional way, but do it in a way that's much more businesslike.
It's just more systematic.
It can't be just squeezed in at night when after dinner when the kids are in bed. It's got to be done every day. And or at least a few times a week, in order to keep everything valid.
So if somebody, first of all, you don't have any, you don't turn anybody down. Like if there's just a structure and a system, so it can be applicable to any type of business. Is there any business that a person would come to you and you'd say, you know what, I am so sorry, but I absolutely could not help you at all because whatever the reason, you fill in the blank.
There are some companies, especially like there's one that's come to me recently that they have a phone number type service where you would call in and be able to hook up or date or meet somebody. And, that's a technology that's been around for about 20 years, I suppose. And but they're trying to figure out how to create some sort of sense of community with Facebook and the works. And they've tried with a variety of different methods. And it's tough because at the end of the day, sometimes there are audiences out there that we're doing business with that don't quite fit into this model where they want to form a community. Perhaps, especially in this phone meeting model, they're using the phone for that for a reason. I mean, if they didn't want to, if they wanted to use a computer and go on the internet and go to some sort of more community-based website, they'd probably already be doing so. So those are some of the things that there are specific business opportunities that reach consumers that don't quite fit into all this yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody comes to you and do you give a free consultation, initial free consultation, or is it just part of a whole package? And can, honestly, can the average person afford your services, or should we sell one of our organs or a child or wait until our 80-year-old husband dies? What are we talking here?
Yeah, no, it's all very reasonable, and it has to be, because at the end of the day, most people can start to do a lot of this stuff themselves. They can start their Facebook page, they can start their Twitter, they can do all these things. So it's got to be priced in such a way that it's just enough so that we can actually make it a business out of it. But at the same time, it's got to fit into kind of real world reality for how they're conducting themselves and what they would pay somebody if they were to pay them full time to do it. And imagine if you were a company and you paid somebody full time to do, and you paid somebody just out of school and they were doing this full time. You know, they're still at $4,000 or $5,000 a month for a full time employee. So if you're only doing this and paying a company like ours just to do it like once a week, yeah, that's where the range comes to like $1,000 or $1,500 a month in order to be able to do that kind of work. So that's where you can start to see where it all starts to lay out. Nobody can really deviate that strongly from it. Unless, of course, they're putting it together an entire team of people that are going to work for a big company like Coca-Cola.
Now, do you just tell them how to do it and kind of give them paperwork and then say, okay, you should be doing this on this day, this you should set up your Facebook. Say they haven't done anything. They say, I want to. So you say, okay, so you need to set up a Facebook page, you need to set up MySpace, you need to set. So you tell them what to do, and then they follow your formula, and they are expected to do it on their own, right? You don't come back.
It's always case by case. That's why I always say this: some business, especially if I'm doing a seminar, I show them, I walk them through how to do it themselves, and many of them are very happy with it. They can just go and go back and start cranking away. But in general, it's just every one of them is going to be different. Maybe work for the tourism office of Sweden, and they've been paying us to do all sorts of fun things for a variety of their different departments.
So somebody can come to one of your seminars, pay a flat fee, and learn everything that they need to do to promote their business, correct?
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Now, when do we have any seminars coming up?
Tell us all the exciting things
coming up.
We just did one 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to do that. And this was the big one where we team up with other companies, and we did a full day presentation near LA Airport, and it was a full house. We had about 75 attendees, and it was very well attended. But the next one's going to be in New York, and then we're going to do smaller ones here in LA, and we're going to do smaller like workshops.
Now, do you have books? Have you written any books? Do you have any DVDs like Tony Robbins? Have you gone the whole Tony Robbins route, or where?
No. But we do have a guide online. We do have a guide that a social media how-to guide that we sell online as well. And that does very well. And it's the same stuff we talk about in the seminar, and just walks them all through how to do it.
Oh, and how would we find that? Well, we'd find that on the Pink Banana Media website?
Oh, yeah. It's right there on the front page.
Oh, great. So for anyone who's interested in checking out Matt Scalarud in a seminar, I would imagine you have all the seminars listed on your website, Pink Banana Media.
Yeah.
And if you want any kind of literature, I would imagine he's got tips and resource information, correct, on pinkbananamedia.com.
Yep.
So everything you need to know, even his cute little picture, and you can see how he looks like a little cherub. He's adorable. You can see him on pinkbananamedia.com. And as you have witnessed today, he is an excellent orator. And he is just such a kind, patient, genuine man. You can just really hear that in his voice. So this is a person that is worth going to listen to their seminar, and I think that you really go that extra mile. So if I needed your assistance, I would definitely call you up. But I do everything myself. I'm like a one-woman show. Well, I have two assistants. I finally broke down and hired, but I know exactly what this social media stuff is. And if you don't have any kind of business background, or you're not really exposed to knowing how to do business, it really does take a person like Matt to tell you how you can maximize this. For example, Matt, I have a website client, because I own a website design company, small, and this person, she is an actress. She can barely check her email, all right? Now,
yeah,
not good,
yeah.
But she started in the business late, but now she says, you know, what is this Facebook and Twitter and what are all these things and what do they do and should I be? And I'm just amazed that people do not know what they are. So that's where your services come in. Don't be embarrassed for to contact him because that's what he does, correct? There is – think you're dumb. He is the man to tell you about it. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. You just may not be aware, and he's going to bring you into the awareness and shine the social media light on you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Wow. Yeah, that was a mouthful.
Thank you so much, Matt. We're out of time, but I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening to my wonderful, wonderful friend, Matt Scalarud. Please go to his website, pinkbananamedia.com, and ask for his services, because in this day and age, you definitely need them, because we are moving at a rapid pace. Thank you, Mr. Matt Scalarud, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas and Santa brings you everything that your little heart desires.
Oh, thank you so much, and to you and all your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. God bless everybody. Merry Christmas. And this is the end of Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.